Okay, welcome to the Peacock Podcast. This is episode 3. It's a season a preview of Derbyshire's campaign. Paul Fisher, Matthew Rhodes with you. And as we look forward to the first game against Worcestershire starting on Friday, that's day one, although the weather doesn't look particularly great, Matthew. So unfortunately, you might be sat in the media room watching it rain, unfortunately. But we'll wait and see on that one. We've got an exclusive interview with Dave Fletcher of BBC Radio Derby. Coming up, he'll be covering all of the games for BBC Radio Derby and of Derbyshire's quest in all competitions to try at least gain some silverware under Mickey Arthur's reign. So, Matthew, then, the third place last season in the County Championships. Obviously, that's the first sort of block of fixtures that Derbyshire have got, isn't it, for seven games. And starting with Worcestershire on Friday, not an easy task against the side relegated from Division One last season.
Yeah, it'll be a tough opening game, but I still feel like the main opposition will probably be the weather more than Worcestershire for that opening match. So it'll be interesting because I think this gets alluded to, of course, I think by other people as well, but the pre-season preparation probably hasn't been fantastic. I kind of think it's kind of the same for most counties, though, really, because obviously Derbyshire's original plans had to go out the window, and they ended up not really getting, I think, the practice that they wanted in. And obviously with their two pre-season friendlies away at Leicestershire and at home against the Leeds Bradford UCCE side, there wasn't too much game time in there. But I think there were certainly highlights to take from it. And I still think it'll be a draw for that opening game. And I think it'll just be down to the weather. But there's definitely positives to take from Derbyshire's pre-season. It did look like Martin Anderson in particular already looks in fine nick. And I think he's going to play a key role for Derbyshire this season, especially when it comes to the Red Bull format. And I think if he can get off to a good start, we might well be in with a chance. And I think that's the same with Lewis Rees as well, because obviously it was a strange old season last time around for him, because obviously when he was available, he was absolutely fantastic. But as long as he keeps fit and, you know, they get off to good starts, it will really bode well. But it'll be a tough fixture in that opening game. The main thing will just be to make sure to avoid a defeat. But having had a look at the weather forecast, I certainly don't think we're going to have 4 days of full amounts of play. I think there's going to be plenty of rain intervals. So I guess it's all about those bonus points and just trying to get as many of those as possible. And hopefully seeing a lot of the players just make some decent starts for the season.
Yeah, those pesky bonus points, don't they? Get everybody confused, don't they, really, I think. But yeah, you look at Worcestershire at home and Lancashire away. Couldn't ask for a tougher start unless you had Durham into the mix there. But then they got Gloucestershire at home, and that's all in the first month of county cricket. So that first three games there you've got, and then Kent away, Northants at home, Middlesex away, Durham, then they started the T20 Blast. So they've got six games of seven rounds, if you know what I mean. So they miss a week, don't they? So it is a tough ask for Derbyshire to on the back of the campaign that they had last season, missing out by I think it was 6 points. I think it was that they missed out on promotion last season. But they've added to their squad. They've obviously brought back Caleb Jewell back into the squad. Mohamed Abbas, I mean, that's a brilliant move from getting him from Nottinghamshire, obviously a title county championship winner with Notts last season. And if everybody else can sort of fire on all cylinders, now we don't know whether they'll have Wayne Madsen for the first game or even the second game of the season. He had that injury, that shoulder injury, dislocated shoulder that he had in the World Cup playing for Italy, and after just four overs, I mean, bless him. That's one thing that we can sort of touch on is that he'll be a big miss again, getting 1,000 runs. But you know, getting him back to full fitness, that'll be key for them. But they do have a little bit of cover in that respect. So Caleb Jewell and Harry Kane, who has been captain for the opening games in the pre-season. So they've got that option, haven't they, going forward? So the batting may be okay. Obviously, Wayne Madsen's captaincy is very important going forward. But yeah, so they've got the bowlers as well. It's just that they've got plenty of options this year. I think Mickey Arthur sort of overloaded himself really with plenty of options, which can only be a good thing, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And it does feel like this is a season where I think it's been referred to before as they are going for it this time around. And it is pleasing to know that if we do get a couple of injuries, obviously it may well be that Wayne Madsen won't be able to play the opening match. That still remains to be seen. But if we do have a couple of players out, we've got players who can just, step in and be able to be sort of like for like replacements there. So it may well be that that bit more strength in depth could just be the difference between those 5 or 6 points that ended up being what we missed out on in terms of promotion last time around. So I think with these early games, obviously with it being probably still likely to be quite a wet April, just to make sure that they don't fall to defeat, especially with it being two really tough fixtures to begin with, and then go for it from that point on. But it is exciting. Like, I'm genuinely optimistic, and I have been very critical of the past in terms of Derbyshire, in terms of how things have gone under Mickey Arthur at times. But I think genuinely there is lots of reasons to be optimistic, definitely, and positive about where Derbyshire are going, because those signings are absolutely fantastic. I mean, especially Mohammed Abbas, again, as long as he's fully fit and can play the vast majority of games, that's absolutely fantastic. And it is a real statement of intent as well. I know Mickey Arthur's spoken for a long time about the project, and I know a lot of fans have maybe tired of hearing that word a lot, because I know it comes up a lot in his interviews and stuff, but it does feel like it's definitely moved on to the next chapter, and this might be the most important chapter of the lot. So obviously we've got a lot of, but the signs are, I think, that at least in the Red Bull format, very, very encouraging. I think when it comes to like T20, we just need a good start. Because I actually had a look at some of the stats in terms of like how poor our starts have been in T20 recently. And we've always been playing catch up. And if we just could actually not do that this time around, that'll put us in the better place. Because what, we lost the opening 5 games last year, lost the opening match in 2024, 2023, lost the opening 3 games. We're playing catch up all the time. So if we can avoid doing that, we can hopefully have a much better 2020 this time around as well. And then the 50 over cup is kind of dependent on the 100, really, in terms of which players we lose, but also which players other counties lose as well. So that's kind of hard to predict, but definitely a lot of reasons to be optimistic and really quite positive. But I'll stress again, I think Martin Anderson will be a really key player, and I think he's one to absolutely keep an eye on, because I thought he was much, much better than I anticipated he would be last season. And by the sounds of it, when you look at even those short pre-season games that we've had, he already looks to be in pretty decent nick, and I think he could play a really, really important role for the club.
A couple of hundreds last season, of course, in first class cricket. And now he's obviously durable with the ball as well. So England have got England, Derbyshire have got plenty of options about going forwards with their bowling, of course. So they've got have plenty of overs that they're going to get into through the legs of the bowlers going forward. So yeah, it's going to be a tough start for them. But they want to put their name out. Lancashire and Durham, of course, going to be hot favourites for the top two positions, getting promotion. But Derbyshire want to be up there, don't they? And they want to play against the best. And, a victory over either of those two sides will set them going forward, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it certainly eases the pressure if you're able to get off to a winning start straight away, which is what Derbyshire did last time around. They didn't have to worry too much about the weather that time around, and they ended up getting that win. And it just means, especially because we've had seasons before in the recent past where we've had entire seasons where Derbyshire did not win a single Red Bull game. We've had seasons before where it's just been the one victory. So for last season, for Mickey Arthur's side to get off to a winning start immediately, that straight away alleviates quite a bit. Obviously, not all the pressure, but it just means that you've already got that first monkey off the back. You've got that winning start. You've got a basis to. You've got a platform, to build on there, and that certainly did Derbyshire a lot of good in the Red Bull format, and it's why I think the pressure grew very, very quickly when it came to T20 because we were just playing catch up straight away in that competition, whereas we already built a platform to build on when it came to the Red Bull game. So I am really, really excited about that Worcestershire game. It's just how much sort of weather is going to impact on that, because I've got a feeling the weather will play much more of a role in this opening game this season than what it did last time around. But hopefully not as much as 2024, where not a single delivery was bowled, was it? And was it something like only the second time in history or something that Derbyshire had saw no deliveries bowled at all in the opening county championship game this season? So as long as we don't have a repeat of 2024, that'd be quite nice.
Yeah, it's not been many. There's not been many of that at all in the course of Derbyshire's history. And they sit on 699 wins in first-class cricket as well. So that'll be interesting to see when they do pick up their 700th, of course. Now, thank you for now, Matthew. So let's dive into the interview then with Dave Fletcher of BBC Radio Derby. And he spoke about his hopes for Derbyshire this current campaign.
Every year I go into Derbyshire's season with hopes enormously high, so I'm trying to temper them this year, despite the fact that I think the three permanent signings over the winter are top class. And if they all come off, even if only two of them come off, I think it could make a huge difference. The fact that they finished third last season, 5 points away from promotion, has raised expectations out there, I think, and rightly so. And Mickey Arthur has publicly stated on more than one occasion that he wants to get Derbyshire in the first division. That's where he wants this club to be. And I mean, you wouldn't expect him to say anything else. No, we'd rather bump along at the bottom of the second division. Thank you very much. The club, of course, rewarded him with an extension of his contract to 2028. So it feels like almost not quite the end of his first part of the project. That's what it sort of feels like, but the sort of beginning of what could be, and it is a could be, Abbas on a 2 year contract, Bashir on a 2 year contract, Montgomery on a three. It feels like the proper start. We've waited a while for the proper start. His first season was terrific, and we've had a couple of lean ones since, but last year was really good in Red Bull cricket. Which I assume we're talking specifically here on account of the first seven games in 8 weeks. We'll shape it, won't it? Really relegated side to start with in Worcestershire, then Lancashire, who can't be as poor as they were last season at the start of last season, and Jimmy Anderson won't let them, let's face it. So yeah, Durham will be good as well. It's going to be tough, but I fully expect them to be as good. They should be as good as they were last year, and really, they should be better.
Do you sense a is this I mean it's a throw out line, but is this the most exciting sort of pre-season there's been? Could you sense something when you were there the other day, for example, that they're all buying into this sort of idea?
Well, I think the players are certainly buying into it. I was asked by my sports editor, or suggested to me by my sports editor only last night. He said, it really looks like they're having a go. And it looked like they were having to go in T20 2 years ago when they made all those signings, and I rather foolishly call them the Harlem Globetrotters of cricket, because the Harlem Globetrotters don't lose. But Derbyshire
No,
didn't win every game.
well,
But this does feel like they're having a go. Absolutely no question. And when you add in those the names that I mentioned there,
yeah.
they sign, and you add them to Wayne Madsen, who got over 1,000 runs again in the county championship last season. Lewis Rees, who was head and shoulders the best all rounder, averaging 60 with the bat and 20 with the ball, and took 50 wickets. If he can
50 wickets, yeah.
replicate that, you've automatically got two exceptional bowlers, seam bowlers, that is, and you throw in Shoaib. If he can start to rebuild his career, I'm sure we'll talk about him in a bit more detail at some point. Montgomery's runs in the One Day Cup. Yes, it was the One Day Cup. We all know the status of that now, which is unfortunate, but you've still got to score them. And he got two centuries in his appearances on loan last season, wants to play a red ball cricket. Mickey talked about him in the pre-season interview that he did with David Griffin on the club website as the future captain,
I thought, yeah, that was
which was
strange.
remarkable. And Harry Kane has captained the side in pre-season, but Montgomery, he's there. We're going to have to face the day when 42-year-old Wayne Madsen, how on earth he's still going, I've no idea. He's unbelievable. But there will come a time when Wayne won't be playing, and he sees Matt Montgomery as his natural successor. So it does feel like they're having that go now. That Mickey has suddenly thought, right, well, I've got these 3 seasons now, 26, 27, 28. Montgomery will be here for the duration of those, Abbas for two of them, Bashir initially for two of them. This now feels like it's championship time. This is the one that Mickey wants. This is the one which will cement his place in Derbyshire folklore, because he's had a rough ride on occasion, and probably quite rightly so. One win in 2 seasons up until the start of last year, which simply isn't good enough. And he can say it's not good enough till he's blue in the face, but he still gets the flak, and supporters are right to give him it. But yeah, this season looks. You're getting me excited now. First, you're getting me excited now, and I promised myself I wouldn't, but I am. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really pleased that we're not far away from it as well. If it was another month down the line, I think my head would explode. Because I've seen them in both of the friendlies that they've played, and there's enough in there. I know it was the students, and it's difficult to gauge. It's difficult to gauge in pre-season anyway, because they're not first class. I mean, I've never been so cold in all my life on Sunday. It was just horrible. And it wasn't particularly warm at Leicester either the week before. So the disruption to pre-season might be an issue. They were supposed to go to Zimbabwe for the kind of 2 weeks, didn't, because of what's happening in the Middle East, and now that then they end up going to Desert Springs, which I'm sure is lovely at this time of year, but didn't get as much work done outside as they would have liked. And the weather, I mean, I don't know what it's like where you are, but it's miserable again here, and the forecast for Friday is terrible, which is disappointing. But yeah, this is the season. This is the season. This season and next season are huge for Derbyshire, huge for Mickey Arthur, I think.
Well, I'm glad to say, but let's just briefly touch on last season as well. So where they were so close, weren't they? They were so close. They were what, 6 points away from getting promotion. They were, you can, I suppose you can stagger through where they sort of fell down during the course of that year. But I sort of looked at it and thought there was a period during when they had the two gaps and they played two county championship games and lost them both in the middle. One against Lancashire at Chesterfield, and I think the other one was Northants, was it? Derby? I might be wrong with that one, but definitely
Might have
Chesterfield.
been at Northants, but yes,
Northants,
you're
yeah.
right, you're
So I
right,
thought
you're
those
right.
key periods where they lost back to back might have just lost their confidence a little bit because they had a storming finish towards the end, didn't they? And thrashed Kent on the last day of the season. So.
It's interesting you mentioned those two games in the middle, because they've got them again this year, of course. The schedule's barely changed, and it's Lancashire at Chesterfield and then Durham. And they're the two real dangers for me. Durham will be strong. Potts won't be playing for England, and they've always got good players, haven't they? They seem to churn out bowlers for fun up there, and they've got enough batters to make good scores, which is how they got promoted. Last time they got promoted, they went out, they scored quickly. They got to 450, 500 declared, and then the bowlers did the rest. So they're a huge danger. And as I said earlier, Lancashire won't be as, I don't think, won't be as poor at the start of this season as they were at the start of last season. They got their act together, and Stephen Croft seems to have his head screwed on. So you'd think that they would challenge. And those two games are the same two games where they stumbled a bit last season. They were second going into at the end of the first block of matches. They dropped down to third. They were never lower than third, but just slow. I mean, Leicestershire just sailed off into the distance, and it ended up being a sort of shootout penultimate game at Derby between Derbyshire and Glamorgan, where, of course, it rained.
Rained, yeah.
And I think that they didn't even complete two innings in the match from memory. My memory's not great.
No, they didn't. No.
And it peters out as a draw. Glamorgan keep that gap, and you're thinking, well, will Glamorgan lose their last match? If they do, then there's a chance. But the good thing for me was that even though they knew that it had probably gone and they would have to rely on Glamorgan slipping up, they steamrolled Kent. They
Yeah, they did.
absolutely steamrolled Kent, who were struggling themselves for quite a while last season, it has to be said. So last season was really good, but ultimately it was disappointing because they were as good as Glamorgan. I think Leicestershire, however they did it, I have no idea, were head and shoulders, as it turned out, above everybody else. But Derbyshire were as good as Glamorgan, and just the odd point here and there. And you may or may not know my view on bonus points. Can't stand the things. And I don't think they would have made any difference either in the end to the final table. But because they're there, and you think, oh, a couple of points there, and but I suppose they'll take the confidence from the performance and the results at Canterbury. That's the last memory of going out on a pitch together. There's only been those three changes. It's not like wholesale changes. Montgomery isn't really a new player because he's played with most of them. The other two were at the camp. Well, Shoaib's been here for the whole of pre-season and played in both games. Mohammed Abbas was there. The other overseas is Caleb Jewell, who was here last year, so he knows he can hit the ground running. Not that he didn't last year with that succession of half centuries. So, what the players who played well last season have to play well again. The players who could do better, and there are probably one or two who would suggest that they can. Have to just up it a touch, and the three signings come in and make a huge mark, and who knows what could happen. I think the key, as I try to throw it again forward, is that what Leicestershire did is a quick start. Now, the fact that they're playing relegated Worcestershire and improved Lancashire in the first two matches before they have a break, I just work against them, I suppose. I don't know how strong Worcestershire are. I've been reading all sorts about the overseas who can't get his NOC signed and left a cup final halfway
Halfway through, yeah.
through England without anybody knowing.
Yeah,
But
people
then
check that out. It's quite interesting.
after Worcestershire and Lancashire, they've got Gloucestershire at Derby, they go to Canterbury again, then they've got Northamptonshire at home and Middlesex at Lords. And they're all games they're more than capable of winning. More than capable of winning. So it'd be fascinating. That first tranche of championship matches, and it's six in seven in it rather than seven in eight, as I thought it might have been, are hugely important.
So they're going to probably, well, I mean, you know probably more than me about what the indication is, but obviously we won't find out till the first toss when they announce the team news. But Wayne Matthews is probably going to miss the start, isn't he, of the campaign, you would think. There's no confirmation of that yet, is there? So, but you know,
No,
it's unlikely.
no confirmation. The fact we haven't seen him at all in either of the two pre-season friendlies. I spoke to Wayne when he was at the T20 World Cup, and it was the night before the final game against West Indies. And I said to him then, I said, "You're ruling yourself out of this final game." I mean, he was obviously devastated not to be able to play more than four overs or whatever it was in the competition, the captain in the side. And he said, "Oh yeah, absolutely. I've been trying to get over an injury that takes 8 to 12 weeks I was trying to do it in 8 days,
Yeah.
and he couldn't do it, and he realized how unrealistic it was in the end, and sort of accepted his fate. Now we haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in the nets. I haven't seen him out in the middle. So I would say I would say it's more likely that he won't play than he will. But it's Wayne Madsen.
Yeah, you never know.
You just never know. I mean, if the problem for me would be that for the sake of missing the opening game, he can be available for the others. If he plays in the first one and falls over and damages his shoulder again, well,
Yeah.
he's out until T20 comes around, and is he going to be fit for T20 as well? So it's a big it'll be a, it won't be a gamble. Mickey Arthur won't take a gamble because he's got enough players. I mean, the Montgomery will just slot in at number three as he
Yeah.
has done, and the players will move up one. I think Caleb Jewell will obviously come in place at the top of the order in place of an Aaron Donald, who made 58 off 50 balls yesterday in horrible, horrible conditions. It was raining half the time he was batting. So, yeah, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'd err on the side of him not playing.
Yeah, that's the key for it. So I'd probably expect Caleb Jewell and Harry Kane to open, I would have thought. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so. I think so.
yeah.
Harry Kane's looked really good. We haven't seen Caleb Jewell yet. All the numbers in Australia, the averages, they've all been down this year. He was about
Yeah.
16th. He was about 16th in the averages in the Sheffield Shield, and his average wasn't great. And you look at his average and think, oh, but you look at all the rest of them, and he's not far away from the top 10 in the Sheffield Shield. So that's good. And of course, we all know he came to Derbyshire off the back of an awful season at Doncaster Town.
Yeah.
And we all thought, well, this will be interesting. And boy, was it interesting because he was really good. So they'll open it. And I think Montgomery will go in at three.
Three. Well, Caleb Jewell's from Tassie, isn't he? So he's used to wet weather and to start the conditions, isn't he? So he should be fine. So probably Harry Kane to captain, would you say?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, it looks like it, but he's captained both of the pre-season friendlies. Going back to our conversation about Matt Montgomery as potentially being it might be too much to expect him to captain on his first class debut for Derbyshire. I mean,
Yeah,
even David
yeah.
Lloyd had a season before, the back end of a season before. Matt Montgomery hasn't played any first class cricket with the rest of his teammates, so it's a tricky one. And Harry Kane knows everybody. Captaining the side in friendlies is one thing I know didn't affect his batting. He looked in pretty good. He looked in excellent touch when against Leicestershire.
Yeah.
And he's one of those players that goes under the radar a bit, Harry, isn't he? He scores plenty of runs, and he's got a bit of stickability as well. So yeah, and having the assurance of Montgomery there at three, who I think probably would have batted at three anyway, because Wayne's now dropped down to four. It's how the rest of the order pushes up. But
So, yeah.
Martin Anderson looked terrific yesterday. The more I see Martin Anderson bat, the more I'm impressed by him. And really, he started off as a bowling all-rounder, and now he's clearly a batting all-rounder for me. Didn't have a century before he came to Derbyshire. He's got a couple now,
Couple,
and
yeah.
looks right at home.
Yeah, so that sort of chunk of that middle order, you look at it, you've got Brooke Guest in there, Martin Anderson, Lewis Rees. There's some runs there, isn't there, really, you think about it. So, and they've been around a while now. So.
Well, yes. I mean, Lewis Rees is he's remarkable, isn't he? He didn't play any form other than red ball cricket last season. I think he benefited from it. It was funny because at Leicester he came in to bowl because Mickey, I think, wants him to open the bowling, left arm, right arm, and he came in. He bowled his first delivery and started limping. And I thought, ah, we're all right now. He's always better when he's always better when he's limping, Lou. I'm sure he'd rather not limp, but yeah, he's always better when he's limping. Martin Anderson, I've said, and Brooke Guest is a strange one for me, batting wise. When he was batting at three, what, 2, 3 years ago, scoring hundreds for fun, hasn't got one for a couple of seasons. So whether batting lower down the order changes his attitude now, if he does move up to four. I know it's not three, but it's close.
Yeah.
So that might give him that little bit of a boost of confidence if that's where he ends up. So you're right. The top six looks really strong,
Don't know, yeah.
and that's without Wayne Madsen. When Madsen comes back, they can then drop Guest to five, Anderson to six, Rees to seven, and then and he's played in both matches. Anuj Dal,
Yeah.
who always scores runs against Worcestershire. I think his best figures are all against Worcestershire, bowling and batting. And he scored a century at New Road a couple of seasons ago. That was absolutely astonishing.
Yeah.
So you've got a top seven there who can all bat. And that's hugely important in red ball cricket, especially in April and early May.
I noticed somebody on Wikis pushed Zach Chappell into the all-rounder category.
Yeah, I'm not so
So.
sure. But my feeling on Zach Chappell as an all-rounder, and he was out second ball or first ball yesterday, one that kept low, is that he can hit it. He can hit it a long way, but you wouldn't want to. 30 runs required to win last wicket at the out there in the middle, and Zach Chappell's one of them with Mohammed Abbas. I'm not sure. I'm not
Yeah.
sure.
Well, I'm glad you linked into Mohammed Abbas there, isn't it? Because obviously he's a massive signing, isn't he? He's what, 36 now, I know that. But you know, what I'm hoping for is that Mohammed Abbas turns up of Nottinghamshire and Hampshire and all the sides, and not Sarangalakmal Lakmal at the back end of his career when Derbyshire signed him the other year.
Well, I said earlier, I went round to see him in the nets on Sunday. He'd only arrived the day before. He had a net on Sunday against Standard. I mean, the first thing I noticed was he's quicker than I imagined he was. I don't know why I thought he was slower than that, but I didn't think he was as quick as he was. And the other thing was that he was bowling against batters, which is very unusual these days. You see the bowlers bowling at stumps and the bats with a dog stick, which is what Caleb Jewell had. There were two batters, they were alternating. There was a right-hander and a left-hander. The first ball I saw was nicked off, would have been caught at slip, no doubt. And the batters had to play every single
Really?
delivery. There were no leaves. So he's bowling at the top of off stump.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not rocket science. Red
Nah.
ball cricket, is it? But
Nah.
we bang it in halfway down and try and bounce the tail out, and you're thinking, come on. Hampshire is 180 wickets at 19 and a quarter. I was reading earlier today when I was looking at
Incredible.
some stats. I mean, it's ridiculous. His career, 868 first class wickets at 20.
Nah.
He's an absolute throwback. He could have been playing in the 19th century with figures like that.
Yeah, indeed. And there's this theory that he's going to get called up for Pakistan at the back end of the thing. However, I looked at it, his last test was January 2025, so he's
In
obviously
South Africa,
not
wasn't
in their thoughts. Yeah, so if they do, it's horses for courses. If they do that,
it's
that's
English
where it is.
it's
Yeah,
English conditions, isn't it? And if he
yeah,
is, it probably means he's already got 80 wickets
yeah.
by the end of August in those first 9 matches or whatever it is, 10 matches.
Yeah.
And I think if my memory serves, and I did look it up, but it's not what it should be. He would be available again for the very end of the
Right,
season.
okay. Got
I
you.
think, and I think Mickey would be happy to see him back in the test. I mean, he hasn't made an awful lot of test appearances in actual fact, but
No.
yeah, I think 20 odd is it? It's it's
Yeah,
it's
not
it,
many, so.
no, not many at all, which seems slightly bizarre because of all the players, especially in English conditions, he's got to be in their thoughts,
Yeah.
and it will be disappointing. Just got to hope that by that time he's got the volume of wickets that we all hope he gets.
And
And
Derbyshire has so many points
Derbyshire,
clear. Yeah.
yes, I can afford to draw a couple of matches that we
Yeah. I mean, let's just briefly touch on, actually, just touch on the white ball a little bit. In an interview with you last back end of last season, I think Mickey sort of, I'm paraphrasing here. He said to a sort of a white ball reset where he looked at the older players and thought they're coming to an end now, and I need to sort of have a look at some of the younger players, you know, that are going to play. So, you know, maybe the likes of Harry Moore, Nick Potts, etc., might get more of a game in that respect, in the sort of, not that they haven't before, but there may be a younger side going forward than what we expect.
I think if Harry Moore could get fit and stay fit, he'd be in a T20 side because again he can bat, as he showed in the One Day Cup 2 years ago. The only one who's left really is Samet, and I'm not sure if it was entirely directed at him, but you're right. He definitely. Now this isn't good enough. We're going to have to almost rip it up and start again. But clearly they haven't.
No.
What they've got is one of the on last year's form very best opening bats who can set up an innings. But unfortunately, every time he passed 50, they didn't win. Or no, they didn't win every time he passed 50. And if your opener's getting 50, 60, 70 in, 20 balls, there's an awful lot of balls left for the rest of the batters not to even take too many chances and put a big score on. Obviously, they'll win at Chesterfield, they always do. Well, or do they? Because that's going to come to an end
At some point,
going to come to an end at some point. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about it in the press box a lot, how Anuj Dal can't play T20 cricket, doesn't play T20 cricket. Best
incredible.
fielder, can bat and bowls. Now, the one thing that Nudge is he's another top of off bowler. Perhaps he doesn't have the variation, and that's why he's not
That's
in it.
why.
Another player who we haven't seen in pre-season, I've seen him around, is Pat Brown. His form absolutely fell off a cliff last year, and I don't know why. If I knew why, I'd try to offer him some help, but I'm not sure he'd take it. If he can find anything like his England international days form in T20 cricket, what a bowler! But he was being carted around. He was carted around in the T20. He was absolutely carted around in the One Day Cup when he came back. From Leeds for one game, I think it was at Derby, and he looked absolutely shell-shocked. Now, he hasn't been away anywhere, as far as I'm aware, in the winter with anybody. He isn't bowling with the red ball, so perhaps he's thought, no, yeah, I wanted to play red ball cricket. It's not going to happen. I've really got to knuckle down. It's in the last year of his contract as well. Really got to knuckle down and play this white ball stuff properly. Otherwise, I could be gone. I know it's been a difficult 18 months for him as well, personally. So, with his best friend passing away. So, hopefully he'll come back refreshed because he's such a good lad. He's such a good bowler when he's on form. And when you Lewis Rees doesn't play T20 cricket. I mean, they've got so many players who could, but don't. And it's, I mean, I'm not one to question Mickey Arthur. I think Matt Montgomery will play it. Bashir will play it. Gazanfar will come back.
Mukim is going to be
McKean
in too, so
in the first half, in the first half of the competition. But he is, I think, from what I'm hearing, available for the entirety of it. Should he
Should they
suddenly
need?
look like a world beater? In which case, then they've got a real dilemma because you can only play two overseas. So and you're going to play Gazanfar. So does Jewell drop out? I mean, he's a big bash winner. And I know his big innings was in the semi-final, but he's a big bash winner. I mean, it's unthinkable that he wouldn't play. So they've got plenty of options there, but there hasn't been that huge
No.
turnover of players that Mickey Arthur threatened. But it's a money thing, isn't it? If you've got these players who are going to play in the championship to start with, if you've got them contracted on 12-month contracts and they're available for T20, they sort of don't have separate budgets for all three competitions. And when you've got some money to spend, if you want, because we know Mohammed Abbas doesn't play T20 cricket, you can put him on a Red Bull contract. There's a bit more money for the T20. You've got Samit Patel's wages to play with as well. But that's about it, really. I mean, Ross Whiteley still owns. He was having a net yesterday. Didn't look like he was enjoying it at all in the cold weather. I think he'll come back when the sun comes out now. Just keep ticking over. But Ross Whiteley on his day.
Hello.
I don't think we've seen the best of Ross yet. We've seen some really good knocks. He had a terrific knock against Notts at home 2 years ago, possibly. But we haven't seen the best of Ross, best of Andy Bold in that game as well, I think. We haven't seen the best of Ross yet. And one last hurrah from Ross would be nice as well, wouldn't it?
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it, really? I think yeah, the lads from Sheffield as well, they shouldn't be cold.
Well, yes, quite. Yeah, they were. Nobody looked like they were. Nobody was enjoying it. I
No.
counted when Shoaib Bashir took his first wicket for Derbyshire with his second ball against Leicestershire. I counted five people in the ground, and two of them were me and Griff, and that was it. So
it?
it was rough. It was
Yeah.
rough, but
Yes.
I was glad I was there for it. I was glad I was there for it just to say, oh yeah, of course I've seen him take his first wicket. Now we just want to see Mohammed Abbas take his first five, don't we?
Oh, that'd be lovely, wouldn't that be? That'd be very nice to start with. And obviously, you're going to be travailing around the country as BBC correspondent for Recovering Derbyshire. With all the technical issues that you have, of course, over the year. So, yeah, what's been your sort of work experience technically wise, covering Derbyshire?
Worst.
Yeah.
Wow. There aren't many. The good thing about cricket grounds is, of course, all the boxes are indoors and locked
Yeah.
away, so they tend not to get vandalised. You'll know. You see the odd one at football grounds with a box hanging off, and you think, oh no, is it going to work? And most grounds have now got the IPs installed,
Yeah.
so that provides a slight technical issue. And I'm not a big fan of the slight delay talking to other people. Makes conversations difficult, doesn't it? But I've not really had any. I don't think there's any time in the 10 years that I've been doing it that I've never been able to get on air. Chesterfield is
It's a
interesting
challenge, isn't it? Yeah.
because you have to get wires coming from a long way away, and now it's all there's no ISDN there, so you have to split. And yeah, that can be a little demanding. So our grounds always are, though, and it's a shame that we don't play at more outgrounds. I
Yeah,
think,
yeah.
I mean, Repton was just glorious last season, but that apart and a one-day game at Scarborough, which is an outground, but I don't really look upon it as an outground, and I probably won't be there anyway for the one-day cup. Everywhere else, we're at headquarters grounds, so there generally aren't too many times when you
All
think, I'm not going to get on here, I'm not going to get on. We
It's always
always find a way.
found a way. Yeah, I was wondering about Repton actually. Yeah, wondering because it looked a really great experience. I mean, I didn't go last year, but I'm hoping to go with it this year. But it looked lovely. It was a good day, wasn't it? It was all.
Glorious. Sun was shining. I got stung by a wasp, but
Oh
apart from
dear.
that, and went ow or words to that effect on air because I was doing the stream for the club with Freddie. You don't sit behind the bowler's arm, but we don't sit behind the bowler's arm at many grounds, really, because the squares are so big these days. The pitch that they're playing on against Worcestershire looks as though it's up towards the pavilion, which I think is good because there are a little bit more life in those pitches than there are closer to where they'd be in front of us. But no, we were looked after superbly, as we are wherever we go, whether we're at home or whether we're
Yeah.
away. We get looked after much better than we could possibly really expect to be. So no complaints from me, Paul. No complaints from me. This is the best thing I've ever done. I only
Yeah.
started doing it in 2016. I wish I'd started it earlier.
Yeah. Well, I bet because yeah, you've had some testing times over the course of the last, yeah, so you're pushing on to 10 seasons now, isn't it? So Barely any wins as well in the county championship as well. So yeah.
The first season, not a win.
Oh.
Not a win. And I'm going to Griff and saying, "Well, is this not?" And he said, "Well, it's only happened," and he gave me about 4 or 5 years. That they're the only times it had happened. It's happened again.
Indeed, yeah.
2 years ago, 3 years ago, what it was, and then the year after that, they only won one. Yes, championship cricket has been, but I've also seen some thrilling things. I mean, when you look at Hartlepool Jeanne down at Sussex when he got like
Yeah.
14 wickets or 15 wickets in a match, and he ran in like the wind. It was unbelievable. Shan Masood, who wasn't really close to the Pakistan Test side when he came over. Mickey obviously knew him, and he had plenty of experience of this country. And all the double centuries that he scored at
Yeah.
the start of that season when he was at Derbyshire, absolutely brilliant. I was fortunate to see the back end of Tony Palladino's career and just running in and taking wickets. And he is very much in the style of Mohammed Abbas for me. So
Oh, yeah.
we were discussing which end he might have. And we're thinking, well,
All right.
I think he might come in from the race course end, because
Okay.
that's the end that Tony Palladino came in from. And if Tony had seen something in it, we'd think that Mohammed Abbas would see something in it as well. But all those little things like that, and Lockie Ferguson knocking Ricardo Vasconcelos off his feet. I know that was T20, but my word. He's as quick as anything I've seen, Lockie Ferguson, live,
Yeah.
anywhere. He was absolutely rapid, and again, not anywhere near the New Zealand setup when he came over.
When it came, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so we've seen some really, really good cricketers. What we haven't seen is a really, really good team consistently. Now, last year was great. They've got to kick on now.